Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, mates, just Matt dropping in here quickly before the start of the episode to let you know that we're doing three more live streams coming up over the following three Saturdays. Saturday's Melbourne time anyway. Melbourne time, it's midday Saturday. This week, for instance, Saturday the 18th of April at midday. But you can go to our website if you're somewhere else in the world just to double check the conversion rates. I've done it myself here. For instance, midday Saturday is Friday night 10 p.m. in Toronto in Canada, or Columbus, Ohio. It's 9 p.m. Friday in Dallas, Texas, 7 p.m. in L.A. Geez, America has a lot of time zones, apparently. New York City in New York is 10 p.m. on Friday. London, Cardiff, and Dublin. I'm guessing all of the UK and Ireland, it's 3 a.m., which sucks. Sorry about that. But the good thing about these streams is they're up for 24 hours, so you can watch it at whatever time suits you best in the 24 hours after it comes out. So if you're not a party animal from Cardiff, you can watch it the next morning when you get up if you wanna. Auckland, obviously, is 2 p.m., prime time Saturday. And Iceland also in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. Paris, 4 a.m. Anyway, you can look it up. I'm just looking up at timeanddate.com. What a tedious way to start. I do apologize for that, but it was fun to me. It blows my mind. The world has all these different times, and we're ahead of most of you, apart from those wily New Zealanders who are streets ahead of the rest of the world in so many ways. Anything else I need to tell you? Oh, it's, I say porn differently to Americans. When I say pawn shop, I mean what you would call, I guess, a porn shop. I can't do it. To us, porn and porn are homophones, but to you, sound very different. Porn and porn. P-A-W-N is porn. P-O-R-N is also porn. Sorry. But it's fun. Language is fun. We're all wearing suits during this, so there's a couple of very brief references to that. Anyway, if you want to watch the streams, please go to sospresents.com. And yeah, you can get a ticket for the following 3 weeks if you want to. And I reckon you bloody should want to, because it is a whole lot of fun. We had so much fun. Apart from the episode, we recorded another 45 or so minutes to the live stream exclusively to that, which is all gone now. You can't see it anymore. It's but yeah, anyway, why am I gas-bagging? Let's get on with the show.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky, and as always, I'm sitting here with Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Jess.
Oh, geez. That is always a struggle.
Wasn't it wild how we were just sitting here and then he clicked and the show started? That freaked me out.
I wasn't
ready for it.
All right, if this is the first time you're tuning in, hello, my name's Jess. Very nice to meet you. And what we do is every week, one of the three of us does a report on a topic. Sometimes it's about serial killers. Sometimes it's about events in history. Sometimes it's about Betty White. And then they tell a story to the other two who disrespect them so much, they just derail and talk about themselves a fair bit. And we've done that for a long time.
That's very true. And I'm really hoping this week is about Betty White.
Yeah, that would be good.
And the way we get onto the topic, Jess, is the report giver asks a question. I'm the report giver this week. This is my question to you,
Thank
Jess.
You.
And to you, to a lesser extent, Dave.
Okay. I'll answer second.
Yeah, great. I'll give you one shot each.
Okay.
The crashing of an unmanned plane in North Carolina in September 1985 ended with the discovery of which dead animal 3 months later?
What?
It's basically saying an animal.
A lion.
No.
Pelican.
No.
Oh.
It was bear.
Damn it!
Black bear.
Okay. You know what? I'll just listen to the report, I reckon. Yeah. I was going to ask for clarification, but I reckon you'll get there in time.
Yes, I will. In time. In time. Jeez, if we have time.
Oof, I hope you get there. Right.
So this was suggested by just the one man, Drake Gillespie, which I'd never heard of the name Gillespie. I don't know if he misspelled his own name Gillespie, but anyway, I'm going to take his word for it, and that word is Gillespie.
Right.
And the report begins now.
Okay.
On the 11th of September, 1985, this used to be the famous September 11.
Wow.
Oh, my God, it's about a plane crash. I didn't even put that together. Oh, why? Obviously laughing at my stupidity and not the terrible tragedy.
Of this bear, we presume.
On September 11th, 1985, a twin-engine Cessna 404 crashed into a ridge in a remote area of Nantahala National Forest in North Carolina. There were no signs of any fatalities or survivors. There was also no flight plan for it lodged anywhere.
So you're saying that no humans were found in the wreckage?
Yes, or anyone.
Dead or alive.
No one dead or alive was found in the wreckage.
Okay.
A few hours later, in Knoxville, Tennessee,
home of the Wig Sphere.
The Wig Sphere. Around 100 kilometers from the crash site, Fred Myers awoke to find a man's body lying on his driveway with a parachute draped around him.
Oh, no.
He finds death very funny.
It sounds like the start of a riddle. You know those riddles where you're like, a man in a paddock, he's got a parachute on.
He stood on a block of ice.
Yeah.
Got it.
It sounds like
shock on with balloons.
He woke up, man in his driveway, parachute, nothing, no other evidence, go.
So
sounds like
I missed a bit. So he is dead.
He is dead.
I thought he was alive. I missed that bit.
Sorry. Yeah. I love the phrasing. He woke to find a man's body, a live body, lying on his driveway.
Now that he's dead, he's no longer a man. He's a body.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Elle McPherson's done that in life.
Yeah.
One of the few too. His main parachute hadn't been deployed, but his emergency one had, probably on its own. And though it wasn't enough to save his life, it did mean that the injuries suffered were much less severe than you might expect to see on someone who had just fallen from the sky.
He didn't fully splat.
I bet that was a real relief for him.
Yeah. Die young, leave a good-looking corpse. When the police arrived, they found the man to be wearing a khaki-coloured outfit with a bulletproof vest, night vision goggles, and a pair of Gucci loafers.
That's confusing. Also, it's daytime. Why does he need the night vision goggles?
Maybe it's a little clue as to when he actually skydove. Was in the night.
With loafers.
Gucci loafers.
It's a funny look in my mind. Like he's a civilian, but he's wearing full army getup and then fancy Gucci slippers.
Yeah.
The police found in the man's possession 2 handguns, knives, ropes, food rations, vitamins, a book with names and codes, a compass, an altimeter, thousands of dollars in cash, and 6 krugerrands, Do you know what krungerans are? Krugerrands.
I have no idea what that
South
is.
South African gold coins.
Oh.
Apparently, they're kind of untraceable, and it's a big chunk of the world's gold is in these coins. And they're worth different amounts depending on how big they are, how much gold is in them or something. I've never heard of them before.
Oh, wow.
Sweet.
It's interesting.
The police also found a key with an identification number matching that of the plane that crashed earlier in the morning. If you hadn't guessed that, these two things are connected.
Oh.
I had my suspicions.
Mm. I didn't.
Yeah, but I'm good at picking twists.
Yeah, that's you're good at the twists.
Really,
I initially had it written so I was going to reveal the key thing later. I'm like, I reckon they'll probably cotton.
There was also a key.
Never thought about how planes have keys.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to start them, don't you?
No, you do, but I've just never thought about that. In the engine, they do that on a Qantas plane.
I wonder how often the pilots are like, oh no.
Then you check the rearview mirror. There it is.
Where are those keys?
They always have a little rock out the front.
Yeah.
It looks like a rock, but it's actually a nifty little device.
There's a few hundred rocks just lying at the airport.
In the garden at my building where I live, there's like little rocks and pebbles and stuff around. And we found out that our elderly neighbour kept her spare key at our front door in a fake rock.
That's smart.
But we had no idea it was there the whole time. She left it. It was a key in front of our house.
Did you just discover it one day?
No. Well, it was a bleak reason why she'd fallen and we needed to get into the house. And that's when we found out where the key was.
And you started going, well, let's check the rocks. Who knows?
It could be any of them. Let's start at our front door, not hers. Very confusing. Anyway, just letting you know that. It's not there anymore, so it's safe for me to disclose that information.
Okay. Where is it now?
I'd rather not say.
Okay.
Good try, Dave. Try. I was about to reveal and I didn't even know.
Just have a crack.
On top of all this, so he's packing a lot of heat. He's got guns.
Yeah, knives, rope.
He's ready to go with
rope.
He's also
got quagrins.
Yeah, and thousands of dollars in cash. And food rations. That's what I'm interested in. What kind of snacks are we talking about?
Smarties?
Yeah, has he got some Smarties? Has he got trail mix?
Yeah, trail mix even smarter than Smarties. Mm.
It has some Smarties in there for a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of sugar.
Mm.
Yeah, what trail do you reckon they're picking up? I always assumed trail mix was things you pick up on a trail, but it's probably more like things you'd eat on a trail.
Yes.
Because you can't pick up little bits of chocolate on a trail.
No.
It's just leaves and
unless you're in Candyland. Are you in Candyland? Answer me that. Dave, why didn't you?
Answer me.
I like to leave you. No, we're not in Candyland. I've tried to eat this chair.
On top of all this, he was also wearing a satchel that contained 34 kilos of pure cocaine.
Okay.
Apparently worth around $15 million at the time. Now, even more.
But he's got rations of food. You're loaded, mate.
Yeah.
Treat yourself to a roast duck.
Are you saying you're loaded, or as in like you can go days without food because you've got so much cocaine? You'll
bit
never
of column A, bit of column B.
Never need to eat again.
Is it an appetite suppressor?
I don't know.
In that jacket, I reckon you might. Jez is wearing a purple jacket. Classic cokehead wear. The cocaine packets had USA 10 written on each of them.
Okay.
I love a cokehead is also a patriot.
Yeah. USA.
Yeah, that's how it was written.
Yeah, times 10.
Times 10, that's how good we are. 10 times better than the rest. The police found two different IDs on the man, both featuring the dead man's photo. So obviously at least one of them was a fake.
Was he dead in the photo?
Yes. Yeah, how'd he do it? One for Andrew Thornton. And a second for Andrew Bourbon.
Okay, so but it's most likely Andrew.
Yes.
I reckon it's most likely Andrew Thornton. Bourbon sounds like a fake name for sure.
Well, yeah. You are correct. I soon determined that the real one was Andrew Thornton. Full name, Andrew C. Thornton II.
C.
Why don't they... Yeah, the C's...
It's not really a full name if you haven't said what C is for.
Well, all right. I said full and I hoped you'd let that slide. C short for... Coke
Man.
It's short for Coke Man. He's Coke like, man. That's why he needs to come up with a second name, because the real name really gives it away.
Yeah, it really gives away.
Yeah.
I'll go for Bourbon.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. Andrew Bourbon is a funny name, but he was from Bourbon Country in Kentucky, so...
Okay.
So he, yeah, he's pretty good imagination, this guy. So yeah, he is Andrew C. Thornton II. Why? I don't, normally, doesn't it go Andrew C. Thornton, Andrew C. Thornton Jr., Andrew C. Thornton III? But he's just gone with the second. I don't get it, but anyway.
Maybe that does that mean that there is a third? You become a second when you have a third.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, because your dad can't be junior.
No.
It'd be ridiculous.
I mean, you couldn't respect him.
No. All right, junior, go get my socks.
My tootsies are cold.
Just yelling at your dad to get socks.
Sorry, not my rules, junior. I'm the third.
Fetch me my sockies.
Thornton was the son of Carter and Peggy Thornton, so his dad wasn't. I think that Carter was the C.
Ah, not cocaine.
No. Well, the C in Carter was short for coke man. Thornton was the son of Carter and Peggy Thornton from Bourbon Country, or County maybe, in Kentucky. According to the Washington Post, the Thorntons were a wealthy Lexington horse breeding family.
Oh.
I don't say. He enjoyed a privileged upbringing in Lexington, where he attended a prestigious private school and also played polo amongst other wealthy people at pursuits.
Yeah.
That's horse polo.
Oh, right. But on the land.
Land not horse polo.
In the water.
Yeah, there's horse water polo. There's water polo.
Very difficult.
Horse land polo. What's just polo? That's just going around with a big hammer and a ball. Yes.
Yeah.
Croquet.
Land croquet.
Croquet is polo. Glad we sorted that out.
After school, he joined the army as a paratrooper. And according to the LA Times, he served in the 101st Airborne Division in the mid-60s and was among soldiers sent to the Dominican Republic after a revolution. He was wounded and received a Purple Heart. Other sources say he was in a different Airborne Division, 60-something or something, but...
Okay.
You know, whatever. 10.
But he's an experienced guy with parachutes.
Yeah. Purple Heart's one of the big ones, I think.
Yeah.
In 1968, he joined the Lexington Police Force, serving there for 9 years. According to the Washington Post, in the early 1970s, he became a member of the Lexington Police Department's first narcotics squad, working with the DEA's regional office in Louisville. Says former DEA agent Larry Lakin, DEA worked with Drew on many occasions in narcotics and sometimes on a weekly basis. Worked very closely together.
Okay.
So he had a history of working in narcotics law enforcement.
That's really handy considering his middle name is Cocaine.
Yeah, Coke Man, but maybe it's Cocaine Man, Coke Man for short.
Yeah, you got to shorten your middle
for
name.
Long.
Please, Coke Man was, Cocaine Man was my father.
Cocaine Man Jr. was my father's name. Call me Coke Man 2. He also worked his way through law school at the University of Kentucky while on the force.
The guy's got a lot of careers happening.
He's got a lot going on. He's still in, I think he's still in his 20s. He's just kicking goals. He's a go-getter. Pretty focused.
Yep.
Whatnot. I guess it's all that cocaine.
Yeah.
Is it a focusing drug? I know what you were saying, it suppresses your appetite. But
yeah. And you focus.
Yeah, Jess is our resident cocaine expert. We'll keep directing questions to you.
Please.
Look at that jacket.
It's full of coke.
So after serving in the army and police force, in 1977, he resigned from life in uniform to become a lawyer in Lexington.
I mean, lawyers can still wear uniforms, can't they?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
What is it like? What would the uniform be? A suit that has a badge saying...
Lawyer.
Lawyer man.
Yeah.
Slash woman, because women can be lawyer man too.
Yes.
Are you talking about the like a barrister's outfit with like a wig and stuff?
Oh, yeah. That is kind of a uniform, isn't it? Wow, you've really opened my eyes.
In a way, everything's a uniform, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everything's a mask, isn't it?
We're all just conforming, aren't
Who's
we?
The real you?
Yeah. What is fashion if
Open
not
up.
A uniform?
Let's get nude. But it seems he never practiced law. Instead, he became more involved in the other side of the law, the crime.
Oh.
There's probably three. Is there three sides of the law? You got the law, then the crime, and then?
The time.
Okay. That's not what I was going to say.
What were you going to say?
I'm not sure, but it was going to be better than that.
You back yourself.
You really paused for a long, long time. I thought I was really helping you out there.
Well, you were wrong. The Washington Post writes, the affiliation between Thornton and the DEA intrigues cops who try to understand Thornton's shift from narc to drug smuggler.
Narc.
DEA agent Robert Brightwell, who says he worked with Thornton on narcotics investigations in the early 70s, describes him as, quote, a 007. That's fucked me up there because he's written it and 007.
Oh.
Come on, Ross. Weird phrasing. Saying it to you, Jess. Come on, Jess. Let's assume the guy who wrote this article's name is Ross.
Okay. Come on, Ross.
My brother-in-law says that a lot. Come on, Ross. I don't know what it means, but it means even less in this context.
Yeah.
So I regret it as soon as I said it. It's a weird family in-joke thing that I don't know what it means.
Yep. And instead of asking, you've just taken it on.
Yeah.
I respect that.
It's just fun to say. Come on, Ross.
Oh, come on, Ross. It's fun.
Yeah. Anyway, the quote is, a 007 paramilitary type personality, an adventurer driven by adrenaline rushes who became bored with being a cop.
Mm.
That's why he went to the other side.
Yeah, for the thrill.
Skip forward to 1981 in Fresno, California. Fresno, home of the Fresno Tacos baseball team, I believe. Probably one of the best mascots.
Taco. It's a taco.
Yeah, their emblem is a taco.
That's good.
How good's that?
I love a mascot you can eat.
Yeah, edible mascots. Much like the Brisbane Lions.
Yes.
So we're skipping forward to 1981 in Fresno, California, and he was one of 25 men being accused of the theft of weapons from the China Lake Naval Weapons Center and of conspiring to smuggle 1,000 pounds of marijuana into the United States.
1,000 pounds.
1,000 pounds.
That's a fair bit.
Yeah. I don't know how, I have no idea what that means. Pounds less than a kilo?
Yes.
So it's not that, probably not even that much. Probably. In
whatever. Probably, yeah. Probably a weekend at my house, you know. Yeah. Nah, I don't know.
You're doing coke and marijuana.
I mean, it's a gateway, isn't it?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
So you've it's used like coke, a weird cocaine as a gateway to marijuana.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, once you start at coke.
There's only one way down.
Yeah.
If you keep going down this slippery slope, soon you'll be under like cornflakes or something.
Yeah. Man, I hope it never gets that bad.
Yeah. You know, cornflakes was invented to stop masturbation. Is that a thing you know?
We should talk about Mr. Kellogg's.
Harry Kellogg's or whatever his name is.
Ross.
Making, come on, Ross.
Making your food so boring it'll stop kids wanking. What a character, Kellogg's. His name's Kellogg as
Kellogg.
Well.
Kellogg.
You thought about it before I hadn't?
Kellogg.
What a...
I don't like it.
I love it.
Oh. Dave, how do you feel?
It's one of the all-time great names.
Okay.
Kellogg.
That's us in a nutshell. Yin and yang and another yin. So the 25-man ring that was all caught up in this thieving conspiracy included other former Lexington police officers and was linked to a group known only as The Company.
Ooh, I like that.
The Company was described in a 1980 federal indictment paper as, quote, a dope and gun-running syndicate with more than 300 members and $26 million in boats and planes.
I mean, a name like The Company can either be, like, yeah, drugs and guns or improv. Know what I mean?
And both of them have $26 million in boats and planes.
Yeah. You know, it's either going to be, like, a cute little theatre company or drugs and guns. There's no in-between.
I love the idea that they do both.
Yes. I mean, you got to be able to switch off. Yeah,
once
point,
you get to international waters, their games of space jump.
They go
take it to the next level.
Off.
Okay. I need a scenario. Stealing coke. Oh, we've done that one. Can we? Weapons.
Come on. I want to escape from our Monday to Friday.
It seems that Thornton was one of the key players in the company. I believe maybe even one of the head honchos.
Ooh.
And honchos and hunkers.
Oh, wow.
Is he a babe?
Well, in the TV documentary I watched last night.
Mm.
He's played by a babe.
Okay.
But I don't think he was a babe.
We can assume he's a babe.
The photos of him, he was like, nah, all these descriptions, I'm picturing Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Because that 007 reference, but
from Ross.
Someone else called him a Rambo-style man.
Okay, yeah.
Whoa.
A fellow police officer described Thornton as, quote, an edge walker, walking on the edge, I guess.
Of his feet. He walked sort of like...
He didn't run very fast.
It was really weird, actually. We said, why don't you just walk on the soles of your feet? And he went, what's that? Nobody had told him.
No.
That's crazy.
Well, he learned how to walk from horses, flip-clopping.
Four at a time.
Yeah.
How do you think horses walk?
Is that four at a time?
Two in, two out.
If they're four at a time, they must be like
yeah, they're rocking kind of.
You've never seen them gallop like I have.
True.
What does that mean? Well, where have you been?
Well, I've been down at the track.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, I imagine as an affluent East boy,
you
own a horse.
You were, yeah, bred.
I was born on a horse.
You were born on a horse, a Clydesdale.
Yeah.
Ah, they've got big
back,
big back. They got big everything.
Big everything. They're big horse.
Yeah. Mm. Big horses.
Never put their feet on the ground at the same time though.
Oh.
Okay.
Only one on the ground at a time.
Okay.
Kind of like one of those desert geckos where the sand's real hot. They're not geckos. You know what I mean. Dezo geckos.
Dezo geckos.
You know those Liz boys in the Dez? It's like I'm talking another language. So this other police officer described him as an edge walker.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot how we got here.
Oh, great.
Edge walker, yes.
Walking on the edge, got it.
As well as a thrill seeker motivated by danger.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, the C, in his middle initial C, stood for danger.
Huh.
He went on to say, as a policeman, Andrew could walk the edge only so long before it became routine. Drug smuggling was a natural transition for him. He was a Starsky and Hutch type of cop. He drove fast cars, popped in, and raided people. Starsky and Hutch, 007, Rambo. Jeez, this guy, doesn't he sound like the coolest guy? He wasn't.
Oh.
Doesn't he, though?
He does sound very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, he sounds like a fun character in a film.
Yeah.
As a real person, he sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Did he have a family?
Like, yeah, imagine being married to him or living near him. You'd be like, oh, this tool again.
He was married...
to the job of smuggling drugs.
And also a woman.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was a bit of a three-way thing going on. And in the end, it was too much for the two humans in the relationship and they split, but he stayed married to the job.
Mm.
Yeah, he sounds like a nightmare.
Because I think she remained kind of friends with him, but she found that his lifestyle was a bit full on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sounds awful.
He
sounds exhausting. Just sit down and watch a movie for fuck's sake, Andrew.
So I am a movie.
Yeah. No, you're not. I just want to go to IKEA. We need a new cabinet. For fuck's sake. My parents are coming for dinner. Can you just sit still, please?
And all the cabinets are full of drugs.
I just need somewhere to put the fucking plates. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Jess, have you also seen the documentary, I imagine?
You accessed that pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah. I don't know where I went, but I feel lighter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a little repressed session
I don't know what you mean.
Okay.
I'm dizzy.
That's the drugs.
I need more Coke. I'm running low on Coke.
I'm
empty
getting
pockets.
Hungry. Anyone got some Coke?
Just eating it by the spoonful.
With milk, like cereal.
Kellogg's style.
Just makes it a paste.
Yeah, I haven't wanked in ages. I've just been eating this cocaine cereal.
Can't even get it up anymore.
Are you happy, Kellogg?
Hell, are you happy?
My inside's a mush.
So he's walking on the edge.
He's walking on the edge. But yeah, so he's up on these charges because of the, you know, the conspiracy to thieve all these things from the army. But perhaps due to his family's powerful standing in the community, he wasn't charged in the China Lake weapons case. There's like, this is one of those ones where there's a million different articles about it and they're all a little bit, they talk about him differently. Some kind of, you can tell they like him, and some are like, he was a shit cop, he's a bad guy, and other ones are like, he was a great cop, he's the best at everything. Some say, you know, his family helped him get out of this. Others were like, they just didn't really have anything on him.
Yeah.
Apparently he said when he got caught, he's like, you don't have anything on me. He was just really arrogant about it.
Really? That doesn't sound like him at all.
Perhaps due to his family's powerful standing in the community, he wasn't charged in the China Lakes weapons case, but was instead indicted on the lesser charge of conspiracy to import a controlled substance, as well as conspiracy to distribute a controlled substance.
Okay.
According to the LA Times, the indictment said the charges involved the flight of a plane on a drug run from South America to Kentucky in 1979. He was named as the pilot. Thornton pled not guilty before doing a runner. He was arrested months later as a fugitive in North Carolina.
He didn't pay for his dinner.
No. It's succulent.
Hell, he is outrageous. Again, his wife's still at the table like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Guess I'll have to pick it up then.
I see that. Okay.
The court diner. Yeah. He's like, not guilty, but I will go another chicken chow mein.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so months later, they finally caught up with him, arresting him in North Carolina while he was wearing a bulletproof vest and carrying a pistol. You'd think fleeing would have led to a more severe punishment, but after pleading no contest to a misdemeanor drug charge, any felony charges were dropped. As such, his sentence was relatively light, with 6 months in prison and a $500 fine. Jeez, that would have been pretty rough on him, right? $500.
$500. 500
big ones. He was also placed on probation for 5 years, and his law license was suspended.
Suspended.
Yeah. No arguments. No ifs and buts, young man.
Suspended for 1 month.
Yeah. Go to your room. Your room being prison for 6 months.
I forgot he was a lawyer as well. I forgot that. So it's been suspended.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was still on probation when he died, so he never got...
Forgot that he died. I was like, oh, spoiler. No, that's right. We found him dead. Yes.
Parachute man.
So he was a free man again in 1982. And it seems like he got back to business pretty quickly. Details aren't super clear of what he's up to in the next 3 years, but it seems he continued working as a drug runner amongst other strange behaviour. This next part is taken from another article in the Post that was written at the time, and it was one of the bits that made me like, ugh, this guy isn't that cool.
I've already got that. Yeah.
But this one, well, anyway, all right. So this is from that article in the Post. Anticipating a nuclear holocaust, although some of this would have put him in good stead for what's happening in the world right now, but unfortunately he's super dead.
Okay.
Anticipating a nuclear holocaust, he stockpiled paramilitary weapons, maybe not that bit, freeze-dried food and stockpiled gold coins. He wore camouflage fatigues and swastikas.
Okay.
That was the bit that made me go like, oh, he's a Nazi.
Oh, that's the bit that made you a bit iffy on this bloke, was it?
That was the bit that really made me go, huh. Yeah, and that one kind of turned me against him a bit.
Gotcha, yeah.
Now okay, he's cool. A genuinely bad guy.
Yeah, swastikas, that's the name for the Nazi version of that symbol, or is that, because he also was apparently big into meditation and stuff. And didn't that symbol used to be about something else?
I believe so, yeah.
Anyway, that was the only article that I saw the word swastika written.
Okay.
But it really pricked up my attention. Pricked up my prick radar. Hey, a bit of a prick, this Nazi guy.
That's a hot take.
Thank you. I don't mean to have such a hot take, but I do reckon Nazis are bad people.
There, you said it.
I don't apologise for that.
No.
I stand by that. I'm happy to put that on the record.
I reckon you'll panic at it and take that out tonight. I don't want to offend anyone.
I panic edit by taking out bits I think might offend. Dave panic edits by any facts he got slightly wrong.
Which might offend people.
Yeah.
Me.
So he wore camouflage fatigues, swastikas and bulletproof vests. Loved his bulletproof vests. And he talked about eyes for eyes and teeth for teeth. Vengeance sort of stuff. He had become increasingly paranoid. He surrounded his farm with concertina wire, setting up barracks and digging trenches,
wow,
according to Kentucky State Police.
Really getting into it.
Ready for trench warfare. Is he going back to World War One? Let's do this.
Thornton's farm was the subject of aerial and ground surveillance several times following reports that Thornton was operating a guerrilla warfare training camp for mercenaries, according to Sergeant Ralph Ross.
Were most of the mercenaries farm animals? Yeah. Training pigs.
Imagine pig with like black on its face.
Could Sergeant Ralph Ross be the Ross? Maybe.
Come on, Ross.
Ralph Ross.
Ralph Ross is a great name.
Ralph Ross is incredible. What's Ralph short for?
Ralph Ayette.
Thornton consistently maintained that nothing illegal occurred on his farm.
That pig wanted to wear that military fatigue. Find me a pig that doesn't want to wear a bulletproof vest. Find me one.
I challenge you.
They're like, damn.
I thought you were talking about the cop. You're talking about a pig.
An actual pig on the farm. Yes.
I'm like, Dave.
I'm not calling.
This is strong language from you.
No, I mean a genuine pig. He's lost it. He's training farm animals for guerrilla warfare. Yeah.
He's trying to get a cow to hold a grenade.
Yeah. Which is hard. Oof. Yeah, that is hard for him. I would have picked a different animal.
Like some kind of...
Chicken.
Yes.
Under the wing.
I was thinking they could at least hold it like in its claw as it flaps a little bit.
Oh, a little talent
flaps away.
Oh, that's fun.
Let's face it, he tried every animal.
Yeah.
A lot of it went wrong before he found the ones that worked.
Yeah.
He blew up a few cows.
Yeah. At dinner.
Hey, you know what they say? You got to blow up a few cows to make a chicken chow mein. How does that saying actually go? You got to
crack a few eggs.
To make an omelette. Right? Yeah.
To make a chicken chow mein. Eggs, of course, being a key ingredient of chicken chow mein.
I have no idea what a chicken chow mein is.
You don't
say. It sounds delicious. Succulent, even. A friend described the kinds of planes Thornton flew as a smuggler's dream.
Okay.
Wish the only thing would have made that better. Just smuggler's wet dream.
Heaps of cabin space.
Oh, yeah.
Drugs.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, you don't have to. So you could just sit comfortably, not surrounded by drugs.
That is right. There was a lot of space for drugs. They ripped all the chairs out of them. Only the pilot's chairs remained. And they also fitted them with special fuel tanks that meant that they could fly extra long distances.
Wow. Well,
that is a smuggler's dream. When you said smuggler's dream plane, I imagined Wonder Woman's invisible plane. Now that's a smuggler's dream plane.
Fuck yeah.
I imagined a really big ass cavity in the back of the plane somehow.
Packet full.
The plane's just like, nothing. Waddling around. The
plane sweating.
I think one of them may have broken.
I feel really focused and not hungry.
The plane just starts zooming off.
Still, you got a whole plane and you're still putting it in little condoms.
I've got 8,000 condoms back there.
Just put it in a bag. Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
So these alterations they made to the plane made them perfect for a trip from, say, Colombia to the United States.
For example. Could be anywhere.
Could be anywhere, but that's an example. And on September the 11th, 1985, that seemed like exactly what he was doing.
Okay.
Or at least on the 10th, sorry. The crash happened early on the 11th, but yeah. On the 10th, that's what he was doing. He was flying a big load of coke up that tightly packed aeroplane's ass from Colombia to the States. Police retrace his path by finding multiple satchels of cocaine dropped into places like national parks along the route.
On purpose?
Yes. But so these discoveries made it clear that he'd flown up from South America. They sort of followed it like a Hansel and Gretel path or a Hansel and Charlie path.
Mm. A real trail mix of cocaine, if you will.
Oh, that's what they should do. Imagine trail mix instead of the little chocolate bits. Cocaine pills.
Why not as well as? Why can't you still have a little chucky treat?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Fantastic idea.
Mm.
Can we copyright
that? Go into business? Yes.
Yeah. Let's form the company. a company.
A 2, 3, 4. We're a dance company.
Yeah. Having made the majority of the journey back home, though, Thornton put the airplane into autopilot and jumped.
Oh.
Why he chose to do this remains unclear to this day.
Because he's dead.
Yes. So he, dead men tell no tales.
Mm-hmm.
Learned that from a pirate once.
Oh.
Or at least a pirate's movie title. Is that it? I haven't seen it, but yeah. Probably Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Johnny Depp.
Yes.
I'm a pirate.
Yep.
Oh, hey, I'm based on rock and roller from the Stones.
Now do Jeffrey Rush in that movie.
Jeffrey Rush?
Do Jeffrey Rush in that movie.
Hello, I'm not very good.
Apparently, allegedly. But I'm quite litigious. Edit point.
Yeah, that's a panic that's a panic edit if I've ever seen one.
I don't want to offend him.
No.
Because he'll take me to court.
But you're dressed and ready to go.
Ready to represent myself.
Well, Your Honour.
Guilty. You walk into the courtroom, everyone just knows.
Guilty.
So he's jumped. People aren't sure why, but it seems like this is why he was dumping the cargo along the way. He was getting ready to jump.
Had he dumped all the coke or just some?
Well, he jumped with a big chunk of it on his person.
Oh,
and the rest
no.
had been dumped. So when the plane was found, there was no coke on board.
Right.
No survivors.
No.
People or coke. Whatever the case was, he was an expert skydiver and the type of guy who wouldn't even let anyone touch his pack. He was a fanatic about his equipment, according to a friend in Lexington. He's a real freak. Very, very experienced skydiver.
But he wouldn't let anyone touch his pack. Not even the guy that repacks the parachutes.
He wouldn't.
He's like,
he didn't trust him. Don't pack him. He wouldn't even let people repack his plane's ass. He just really? Wouldn't. Didn't let anyone touch anything.
His plane, his ass to pack.
Yeah. He thought of his his parachute as kind of like his second anus.
Yeah.
No touching. Maybe one of the reasons why him and his wife broke up. She was in ass play. He wasn't.
He wasn't willing to try or communicate.
Which, you know, sad, but that's love, isn't it, in the end?
What?
Yeah, ass play.
Hmm. It's a phrase that I only heard relatively recently, and it's real fun. Oh, it was in some sort of a show.
Okay, good. Yes, that narrows it down.
Come on, Ross.
What was it?
It's not like people are watching a lot of shows at the moment.
It was a podcast. And they were talking. Anyway, this is now it's in another podcast.
Mm.
Ass play. It means playing with your ass, I think. I'm not a virgin.
You also scream that in court.
Your Honor, I'm not a virgin.
Per se.
Objection.
Proof. Objection, he definitely is, Your Honor.
Sustained. So it was a very good jump, a very experienced. So it was surprising to those who knew him to hear he had died in a skydiving accident.
Yeah.
Knoxville.
It wasn't surprising that he was found with hundreds of pounds of cocaine strapped to him. Oh yeah, did he have the gold coins?
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah. He was
how many guns did he have on him? Yeah, that's Andy. Yeah.
It splattered.
But well, weird. That's not like him. Not my boy. That's his mum.
Knoxville Police Lieutenant Jerry Day described him as quote, a kind of survivalist, an individual who was expecting trouble and ready for it, which explains why his body was found with weapons, food, ropes, night vision, goggles, etc., etc. Picnic hamper. But unfortunately for Thornton, it sounds like his overpreparedness might have caused his downfall, quite literally.
Mm.
According to the New York Times, he fell to his death because, quote, he was carrying too heavy a load while parachuting.
Yeah, it's... Yep.
Got greedy.
Greedy. The fact that he was such an experienced jumper and he miscalculated the weight he could carry makes it seem like the jump wasn't pre-planned. Cause some people say maybe this was always the plan. He was always just going to let the plane go and crash. He was going to land and meet someone where he was going to make a deal. But it seems like that's probably not the case just because he otherwise wouldn't have had such a heavy load on him. Today I found out.com suggests it might have been something else though. Quote, it was also later noted by friends of the man in question that he had a propensity to push the envelope on how late he could open his parachute. So it's also possible that in the darkness he simply waited too long to deploy it.
Okay.
He was challenging himself.
He was playing chicken with the ground.
Yeah, apparently he was famous in skydiving circles as one of the few guys who would wait to the very last second to pull his ripcord.
Again, he sounds like a nightmare.
But didn't it say he didn't pull the ripcord at all and the only the emergency one had gone off automatically?
Well, they're not sure if it went off automatically or if he had to pull it.
Right. Yeah, if the first one failed.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's for.
Because that's the problem. If you leave it to the last second and then it fails, you've lost a couple of seconds before you get the emergency one and then it's too late.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a possibility.
I'd be famous in skydiving circles for pulling it at the first possible moment.
You're in the plane? And then you get sucked out and you're just dangling. Oh, no.
It's wrapped around you. You fall to your death.
Somehow, that's how you die.
It gets caught in the propeller.
But if that is what happens, can you please still tell people it was a skydiving accident?
Yeah, a skydiving accident that was completely avoidable.
It was entirely her fault.
Falls out, comes out. These little planes with the propeller at the front. It gets caught in the propeller. You're flinging around. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Are you picturing me as a cartoon as well? Isn't it? Yeah.
And eventually you get minced up in a chicken chow mein.
Yeah.
The best part is it's your first ever skydive, so you go tandem with a professional. But you just... sorry, mate, I don't trust you. Pulled it.
He also dies.
Just no.
But at least I was prepared.
Yeah, that's right. You played it safe.
I play it safe.
Son.
Thank you.
The documentary series I was talking about before is called FBI Files, Dangerous Company.
Oh, that's good.
Very good. Because the whole point of it was he kept dangerous company. So that doco suggests that Thornton believed he was being followed by another plane. So he put the plane into...
So he tried to lose it? Did he indicate left and then turn right?
Apparently, yeah. And they reenacted it all so good. He's gone, lose him. But the other plane was too fast and was catching up.
Damn it.
So he got it into autopilot and jumped. And we know he was a super paranoid guy. So this checks out. On the way down, they suggest he was knocked unconscious. Possibly straight away, hitting his head on the plane on the way out. Which feels like it would be hard to do. But I reckon...
I'd find a way.
He hit his head on the plane. Wink. He was famous for being the best in the biz.
Yeah, and then he hits his head on the plane.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah,
buddy.
It really is.
Wink. The other...
You've got to hit yourself pretty hard on the head to knock yourself out.
Oh, no.
I guess, if he jumped, got caught by a gust of wind, thrown back into the place, I don't know. But they also suggested it could have been that he was pummeled by one of the duffel bags full of cocaine all the way down. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, it feels very cartoony. Either way, they suggest that he was knocked out and unable to pull the ripcord of his main parachute, and the emergency parachute wasn't deployed until it was too late.
Yeah.
Either automatically, or he came to and went, oh shit, pulled it and it was too late.
Yeah.
So that's what they suggest on the doco. It's an hour and a half. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's very good and it goes into all this other stuff as well. But they say at the start, the injuries that the cops found on his body when they found him suggest that maybe it wasn't an accident, that maybe he was hit. And it was murder. And then they go, yeah, it looks like he probably hit his head on the plane. I tell you that an hour and 20 minutes later,
murdered by a plane.
Yeah. But plane had it out for him.
Well, and also one of the bags burst and the plane was on like a coke rage.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Can you get rage?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Really focused.
And angry.
Anger suppressed. Rage.
Yeah.
So it's one of those made for TV docos where it's like all reenactments.
Mm.
And you know, it's sort of lowish budget. And
a lot of like, is it dark and a lot of filters so you don't see a lot of the background because it's not properly a background?
Totally. But there's, I mean, it's an hour and a half long and it's sort of, you know, there was obviously some budget. There's so many location shoots and all this sort of stuff. My favorite bit, I can't remember exactly what he said, but, the narrator's talking about the cops and saying they realised that he was actually quite a bad guy. And that's overlaying cops reenacting this scene where they're in the crime lab looking at evidence. And the main cop, you can hear him just audibly say, I reckon he's quite a bad guy.
I'm guessing he was just like riffing. Just making up.
All right, I'm a cop. Okay, what do I think about this criminal guy? Yeah, I think he's quite a bad guy. Yeah,
Yeah, I think this guy
might
be a criminal.
Yeah. Yeah, but the if people are interested, it'll be linked in the show notes. It goes way deeper into the company and all the bad things they did, which also includes the assassination of a judge who was in the middle of a court case with one of the people connected to the company, was probably about to be found guilty by this judge. That judge got assassinated by a sniper. The man convicted of that murder was Woody Harrelson's dad.
What?
I don't think anyone expected him to say that.
And I would normally have gone into all that stuff way more, but we haven't even got to the reason that I'm doing this report. The
just
reason
a bear.
Yeah.
Which I totally forgot about until about 10 minutes ago, and I zoned out for a second and went, wait, what? Where's the bear come into this?
Woody Harrelson's dad killed a judge.
Well, he was found guilty of it. The guy who accused him of it apparently later changed his story, but I think Woody Harrelson's dad died in jail.
Right.
I think he was a career criminal.
Okay, so it wasn't just like that actor from Cheers. It was his dad.
No, yeah.
He just got named. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So it sounds like, yeah, he was a pretty wild operator. But, yeah, unfortunately, no time to go into all that.
Yeah, okay.
Because the reason that Drake Gillespie suggested this topic was about this bear.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God. But maybe before we jump into that quickly, what's your theory? Why did he jump at that point? You think it makes sense that he was just got paranoid?
I reckon he'd sound like a paranoid kind of guy.
Yeah.
And that maybe if you think you're being followed, when you land, you're definitely going to get busted. So if you crash the plane, there's a chance in darkness that you'll be able to jump out. DB Cooper style, no one notices you, and that you can go back and get the drugs in the forest later.
Yeah, I think that was the plan.
But it's still super risky, obviously.
Yeah, totally.
And he had $15 million of drugs on him. And there were more that he dropped. So it was so much
cash worth
of
drugs.
And the people he bought them off, I think they didn't get paid up front. So then there's this whole story about how maybe there were retributions afterwards as well, which I don't have time to go into either. So it's just like it's a big, messy story. There's multiple books have been written about it. It's inspired different story arcs on different TV shows.
Wow.
The police ruled the death an accident. So the plane got away with it.
Classic.
But it does.
Until now.
It does seem likely that another person was on the plane with him and someone else was helping him coordinate things on the ground. The New York Times reported in 1988 that, quote, two people were indicted on charges of conspiring with Mr. Thornton to import the 880 pounds of cocaine. I couldn't find anything that had come of those charges.
Right.
I think one of them was his girlfriend at the time. And she was the one on the ground, allegedly.
She was just wanting to go to IKEA.
Yep. Oh, this wasn't his wife. This was her girlfriend.
I know, but okay. I mean, still, lots I know. Of people like to go to IKEA for stuff.
Two different people wanting to go to IKEA. Jeez, he has a type, doesn't he?
He meets them at IKEA.
Yeah. And they, and then he changes.
Yeah.
Like that. So that let's draw a line in the story of Mr. Thornton. And get onto the bear. So about 3 months after the plane crash, authorities found one of the coke drops that Thornton had made. So they were tracking these down. One they found 3 months later in a national park.
Oh, no.
There they found around 40 packages of cocaine that had been ripped open, but only residue remained.
Oh, no.
Nearby, they found the body of a 175-pound black bear. To confirm their strong hunch that the bear had died after consuming the cocaine, they sent its body to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. There they performed a necropsy, which is like apparently the animal version of an autopsy. What they found was, quote, its stomach was literally packed to the brim with cocaine. There isn't a mammal on the planet that could survive that.
So well.
Yeah. You build up a tolerance.
Isn't there? This black bear, bit of a pussy. My dad's watching. I am joking, Dad.
Cerebral hemorrhaging, respiratory failure, hypothermia, renal failure, heart failure, stroke. You name it, that bear had it.
That's one hell of a drug.
Oh, my God.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug. They do say that. The story was picked up by the media, and the bear became known as the Cocaine Bear, a.k.a. Pablo Escobar.
Okay, that's cute. But it's not the bear. I mean, the bear didn't know, did it? It wasn't like, sweet, heaps of cocaine.
It's not like it wasn't snorting it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we assume.
Yeah. It was just like, food. Oh, yeah. I feel good. More food.
Yeah, what a weird food. Maybe it probably has a delicious taste.
Yeah.
And this, pure. That's the thing about Colombian cocaine. Delicious.
Tastes amazing. You can sprinkle it on your cereal.
Yeah, and I do.
And your Kellogg's.
Don't talk to me until I've had my morning cocaine.
In 2015, a small company named Kentucky for Kentucky, set up by mates Whit Hyler and Griffin Van Meter, became interested in the story and tried to find out what happened to the bear's body. Griffin and Whit made headlines in 2011 after launching a campaign to replace Kentucky's tourism slogan, which is unbridled spirit, to Kentucky kicks ass.
Okay.
Kentucky packs ass.
There we go.
Let's start it up. # Kentucky packs ass. Let's make it happen. According to RoadsideAmerica.com, the popularity of that campaign encouraged Griffin and Witt to open a brick-and-mortar store, the Kentucky for Kentucky Fun Mall, as a marketplace for locals to sell quirky home state items such as gold-plated KFC breastbone necklaces and fried chicken-scented candles. They also wanted their stores to showcase unusual Kentucky relics, and that's when they remembered Cocaine Bear. Growing up here, I remember hearing about it a lot, said Witt. Could it possibly still be around? First, they contacted the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, who conducted the necropsy.
Conducted.
Kentucky, that's what they call that in Kentucky. When you conduct in Kentucky, it's conducted.
You conduct.
Yep. They
conduct a full investigation.
Yeah, they're the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra is led by a conductor. So are their trams.
The Colonel?
Yes. They all look like that there. They spoke to an examiner who remembered the incident well. They said that despite all the damage the coke did to the bear internally, apparently the bear's body remained in good cosmetic shape. Quoting from Kentucky from Kentucky's website, Kentucky for Kentucky's website, such good shape that he thought it would be a shame to just have it cremated. He conducted. Talking is so hard. And so like this thing, every 3 weeks I read a 20-page report and I still don't know how to read. I hit words in the syllables all wrong. Anyway, people know this. I don't know why I'm telling you. You know it better than anyone. He contacted a hunting buddy who did taxidermy, had it stuffed, and then gifted it to the Chattahoochee River National Recreation Area, where it was displayed in the visitor center. So they called the visitor center. This is the Kentucky for Kentucky fellas. But he wasn't there anymore because, quote, apparently in the 90s, the threat of an approaching wildfire prompted park employees to evacuate the area's facilities. They took the few artifacts they had, including the cocaine bear, and put it in temporary storage in a nearby town called Dalton. But a month later, the storage was robbed and the bear was stolen.
What?
Who steals a bear? It must be huge.
Well, the stuff from storage was later recovered from a Nashville pawn shop, but not Pablo Escobar, because Pablo had already been unsold.
Okay.
That was to legendary country musician Waylon Jennings bought cocaine bear.
What?
From the pawn shop.
From the pawn shop. The pawn shop owner said he was unaware of the bear's colourful history or that he was stolen. But this was contradicted by Jennings, who, quote, told police that this particular pawn shop owner, a guy he's done business with in the past, called him as soon as the bear came in and relayed the whole coke feud story of Andrew Thornton in great detail.
I had no idea.
Jennings was apparently already very familiar with Thornton, even before Thornton's death. From Kentucky for Kentucky again. We couldn't find out for sure if Jennings knew Thornton personally, but he definitely knew what he was about. So when Jennings had a chance to nab the infamous cocaine bear, he took it. He gave the bear to his Kentucky-loving friend Ron Thompson, who was a Kentuckian, whatever they're called.
Kentuckian.
Kentuckian. Who's the guy who told him all about the Thornton story and was possibly knew Thornton personally as well, but that's not clear. And Thompson displayed it in his Kentucky-themed party mansion in Las Vegas.
Oh, my God.
Bear's gone on a real journey.
And he has a Kentucky-themed mansion.
Yeah.
That's one of his mansions, and that one is Kentucky-themed.
Yeah, he has 50. One for every state.
But then never in the state they're from.
49. He said it'd be cold in the head in the cold, cold ground before he had a Missouri party mansion. And that's how Coke Bear went to live in Nevada desert. At least for a while.
Oh, my God.
When Thompson died in 2009, much of his estate was sold at auction. Kentucky for Kentucky called the auction house, who helped them track down the buyer, a man named Zhu Tang, a Chinese immigrant living in Reno. He bought the bear, uncontested, for the opening bid of $200.
What? I would buy it.
It feels
much?
Like just...
How much?
$250.
It feels like, yeah, it's funny they didn't get another bid, but then, you know, it's a big dead bear. I guess you're lucky. When they tried to contact Zhu, they found that he had already passed away, sadly. But they were able to get in contact with his wife, and they learned he'd been using the bear as decoration in his traditional Chinese medicine shop.
What?
When he died in 2012, she sold the business but saved the bear, even though she never really liked it, apparently. Quote, "He was always bringing home junk from auctions and estate sales and things like that," she said. "The bear was one of his favourite things. He just loved it for some reason. At first, he wanted to keep it in our living room, but I wouldn't have it. It scared me. I made him take it to the store." She was unaware of the bear's history, but when they told her, the scars from the post-mortem examination on its abdomen all of a sudden made sense to her. These scars also helped confirm to the Kentucky boys that they'd found their bear.
Oh, my God.
After telling her about the whole story and the quest to track it down, which took them a few months, Mrs. Tang at first said if they'd gone through that much trouble, they could have the damn thing just to get it out of her sight. All they had to do was pay for shipping. So in 2015, Griffin and Witt unveiled the cocaine bear at their fun mall. Quote, "You wouldn't think that a cocaine bear would be for all ages, but kids love it," said Griffin. "Everybody wants their picture with cocaine bear." According to Roadside America, Griffin and Witt are attentive parents to their furry showpiece. Cocaine Bear is given regular cleanings and outfitted with a Kentucky hat and an oversized gold chain. Dangling from its neck is also a flashy sign that gives the bear's proper name, Pablo Escobar, and ends with the warning, quote, "Don't do drugs or you'll end up dead and maybe stuffed like poor Cocaine Bear." And that is the end of my report about Andrew Thornton
II
and the cocaine bear.
Far out.
That was quite a journey.
I don't know what to say. That's
it's a funny addendum at the end, right?
What a journey they went on to find that bear.
Yeah.
Is it possible that that bear is cursed? Two owners
I had the same
died.
Thought. Yes. So they've had it since 2015 and seem to still be alive.
Okay.
But all these people taking their photos with it, All dead.
All dead.
Including the kids.
Oh, yep. No.
They're dying of old age. So very confusing.
That is weird and amazing.
Yeah, it's a wild story. I think the Waylon Jennings bit was the bit that made me go, all right, I'm listening. So, yeah, it's a funny postscript. Yeah, because the bear, it's interesting that they latched onto it, because I think the bear wasn't even living in Kentucky, but it was connected to this Kentucky story, a Kentuckian.
Yes, contusion.
Contusion gave him the coke, I guess. So that's the connection there.
Yeah, right.
Wild story.
Yeah, and what a great suggestion from Drake.
Yeah, well done, Drake.
Thank you so much, Drake Gillespie.
Well, now we can move on to everyone's favourite section of the show, which is, of course, our Patreon section, where we thank the people that support the show on patreon.com/dogoonpod.
Kicking off with the fact, quote, or question section, which has a little jingle.
Fact, quote, or question.
And the way this works is if you support us at patreon.com/dogoonpod, there's a bunch of different levels. This level is the Sydney Sheinberg Deluxe Rest in Peace Memorial Edition level. And if you support us on this level, you have to give us a fact, a quote, or a question. And each week, I'll read out two of them. And you also get to give yourself a title. Other things on this level, you get are so many things, including you get to vote on two of the three topics. You get two... Should we announce?
We should announce it.
Yes!
So, at the moment, we put out and have for a long time two bonus episodes every single month, and they're still up there for you to check out. So, there's over 60 bonus episodes if you support us on the bonus episode level, plus the D&D series that we recently did with Sans Pants. There's four episodes of that as its own little thing. But we're not going to just continue to do two bonus episodes a month. We have just hit a new goal. Jess, what are we doing?
We're going to be doing Phrasing the Bar, baby!
So three bonus episodes a month. One mini report, one random roll of the dice,
mixed
could be
bag.
Anything,
yep.
And one Phrasing the Bar. And we'll be starting that next month, assuming that we stay at that level, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. And if you don't know what Phrasing the Bar is, it is a show where we will be going through the filmography of Brendan Fraser. Fraser. We still don't know how to say his name.
Maybe we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
So excited.
But
for
I imagine the first couple of things are going to be a bit shit before it gets to the good stuff. You
I
know?
Did look up.
The first one is like, he's like basically
like
an extra.
A cameo. But yeah. Episode two, Encino Man.
Oh, wow.
No.
He hit the big time, baby.
He hit the ground running.
The first movie, yeah, I think it's more of a cameo appearance.
Oh. I love it. I love that we're going to start with that. Assuming we're going to start with that?
Yeah, we'll start with nothing. And then Encino Man.
One of my all-time favourite films that I haven't seen in
Buddy?
Years. I mentioned Paulie Shore earlier
you
today.
You did.
Squeeze in the ooh-oohs. Can't remember if I said that on the pod or not.
Paulie Shore alive?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
At time of recording.
Yeah.
What's he doing? What's
so anyway, we got that is
no. That's
so
a big question.
What is he doing?
What is
I think
he
he's
doing?
Still. He's, did he have a reality show for a while?
That was Jersey Shore.
Oh,
that's so good.
Thank you so much.
His sister.
yeah, Jersey. But yeah, thanks so much to everyone that has been jumping on the Patreon lately. You know, it's extra stuff for you to listen to maybe if you're in quarantine, and it also helps us out a lot as well with the lack of live shows and things like that, and the people that have been watching the streams as well.
Yeah.
It's really a great way to keep us going.
Really
so
awesome.
Cool. So on the Sydney Sheinberg level, you get all those things, but the thing that people really love is the fact, quote, or question. You get to give yourself a title, and then you get to give us a fact, a quote, or a question. This week, the first fact, quote, or question is Jessica Gillette Sheether, and she's given herself the title of Jessie Jess Jess, Queen of the Donut People.
Ooh.
I instantly feel hungry for donut.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, I'm hungry in general.
I've called it like it's its own cuisine. Hungry for donut.
But donut people, do they eat lots of donuts or are they made of donuts and would they be offended by us eating donuts?
Oh. Yeah.
Sorry, Jessie Jess Jess.
But maybe if they are made of donuts, they'd be like, well, I mean, we have to have a purpose. Please eat donut, you know?
Yes.
Maybe there's a difference between people made of donuts, sentient beings made of donuts, and then donuts the food.
Mm.
I think there's a difference. Get your head out of your butt, Dave.
I have a feeling that Jesse knew this kind of intellectual discussion would follow this title.
There was that episode of The Simpsons, maybe a Halloween one, where Homer gets his head becomes a donut.
And he started nibbling on it a bit.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's picking
Stop
at
picking
it.
At that head. Or am I thinking of, hey, don't scratch up them heads? A different Halloween episode.
That's both.
So her question, Jessie Just Jess, is, hey guys, I've been re-watching The Mighty Boosh lately. I know a few people have been re-watching The Mighty Boosh in quarantine.
It is a great show.
And I kind of forgot how good it is. I did it, if you don't know, Jess, I did a one of the first primates was about The Mighty Boosh. It's good fun.
Oh, yeah, Bolo.
Bolo, yes. Mm-hmm. She goes on to say, it's something that always makes me laugh like I'm watching it for the first time. What always makes you laugh no matter how many times you have seen or heard it?
Well, The Simpsons.
Yeah, Simpsons.
So much laughter.
A man getting chased off a course by a pack of dogs.
Yeah, that that does yeah. make me laugh.
This is the mention of the concept.
So funny. That's a good question. What's
I think I can rewatch The US Office during the peak years and laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Every time. Oh, and Black Books. I love Black Books, and every time I rewatch it, I think.
Yeah, Black Books is great.
Black Books is very good. With Nail and I, makes me laugh every time, I reckon. Normally, yeah, I'm trying. Mighty Boosh would be right up there as well.
I actually reckon Kimmy Schmidt might be. That's a show that I've watched a lot, and there's always jokes in there that make me laugh.
Yeah.
My favourite recurring joke. Have I talked about this on the podcast or with somebody else? But Titus keeps, he always says moi in relation to himself. He'll be like, moi? And that, like, he's obviously seen moi written down and has never doesn't know how it's supposed to be said. But the good thing about it, they never explain, like, they don't spoon feed that to you. He just keeps saying it. It cracks me up every time. Moi?
Maybe that's the actor. He's meant to be saying
moi. Moi. It's very moi. Funny. Moi.
Oh, yeah, I can't relate to mispronouncing words like that. Nothing funny about it.
It's great.
Yeah, great question. I'm trying to think of anything else. Probably like Happy Gilmore. I haven't seen that in a long time. Seinfeld. Classic.
Seinfeld's still great.
Yeah.
I recently, I watch it probably a couple of times a year, Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, yeah.
And that is very funny.
Yeah, right.
Still.
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to say, I'm so sorry that I didn't mention this earlier, the succulent Chinese meal man.
Oh, that yeah. makes me laugh every
course,
time.
I cannot laugh. I cannot not laugh.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. I cannot help but laugh.
Yes.
Every line.
Every line.
It's like, that seems like a written riff.
Ta-ta. Yeah.
Doesn't it like... ta-ta.
And farewell.
Yes.
So
every
funny.
Line is gold.
And all if you around don't... the UK, that was you guys the whole time. Yes.
Because
yes.
you can put it in anywhere. Yes. Can you please help me with...
I see yes. you've learnt your judo well.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, which I'd be surprised if we reference it so much, just type in succulent Chinese meal into YouTube.
And you're welcome.
And yes, just enjoy. That's the only... It's a two-step process.
He's sort of the guy's... slowly revealing himself to the public, and once he's fully done that, I'm doing a report on him for sure.
Yeah, great. Oh,
I'm so keen to hear it.
Thank you so much, Jessica Gillette Sheetha, fantastic name, JGS. The second fact, quote, or question of this week is Catherine Clough. Sorry, bracket pronounced Clough.
You're welcome. You really do read from left to right.
Catherine Clough.
Clough.
Who's given herself the title of Brigadier Gary of Barbados.
Oh, Brigadier.
Putting three references together, I salute you.
Yeah, love
Thank
that.
Thank you so much, Brigadier Gary of Barbados.
Gary Barbados.
Question is, I just wanted to ask, what's your perfect Sunday? It's a quote and question. This is in brackets, sorry. Question is, what's your perfect Sunday? Bracket. It's a quote and a question. Maddie, as you haven't pre-read this, and to save you a Google, it's from Hot Fuzz, one of the best. Oh, Hot Fuzz, another funny part of a very funny film series.
I was just thinking of that
Cornetto trilogy.
Are we talking S-U-N-D-A-Y or S-U-N-D-A-E?
Oh, good question, because I've got answers for both.
D-A-Y. Okay. D-A-E, I'm banana split, sprinkle of nuts, a bit of chocolate sauce. Maybe a couple of wafers. Have I said nuts?
I don't think you've said nuts.
Add a sprinkle of nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a chocolate ice cream with chocolate sauce.
Ooh,
then
double choc.
Then a shitload of cream on top. Couple of cherries for looks and taste.
Fantastic
for
work.
Looks and taste. Okay.
Jess, your perfect sundae?
I don't think that I'm much enough of a sundae person.
I'll have what yours.
About maybe a caramel?
What's your AY then?
AY? Brunch?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, buffet. I love brunch. Maybe a walk.
Yeah.
Some sort of exercise. And then a movie.
Oh, sounds great.
Yeah.
My perfect sundae, and most Sundays are able to go this way, I get up and have pancakes watching Insiders, which is a weekly political show. It's on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m, followed by Offsiders, which is a weekly panel show about sport. Eating pancakes, banana on top. Yum, yum, yum.
Banana.
What a great start to the day.
Yeah.
Then just sort of chilling. Maybe a walk or something like that. Sounds nice.
Yeah.
If it's the perfect Sunday, I'd probably the Saints have a win in the afternoon. Or if it's summertime outside of footy season, just a beer garden.
Ugh.
Just having a few drinks with mates and then coming home and, chilling out with a movie or something.
Yes.
That's my perfect Sunday.
Love that.
We have pretty similar tastes, guys, because mine is definitely sleep in.
Oh, yeah.
Big sleep in on Sunday.
That's why it's brunch and not breakfast.
Oh,
you know?
For sure. Go
11 a.m.
Yeah, go out for brunch. Yes, please. Come home, chill for a bit. Maybe go for a drive to find a beautiful pie.
Yeah, I love going for a drive on a Sunday.
Yeah, like a Sunday drive, pie drive. Love it.
Drive out into the country.
Yeah.
Get a pie, get a scone.
Oh, yeah. Love going for a drive and getting some scones.
Yeah. Mm.
Obviously, cream first, then jam. Proper way.
Yuck.
And then the only other thing I would say is a long walk with the dog.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Take him to the park.
Yeah.
Let him off lead. He's going to play with the other dogs. I'm going to play with the other dogs while we're patting him.
Dave, is that a euphemism? Quite a tortured one about wanking?
Play with
taking
the dog.
A long walk with the dog, playing with a few other dogs.
I've been going for walks.
Wanking.
Sorry, I'm not following anymore. Is this still about wanking?
Because we're not allowed to do much at the moment. Obviously, we've all been doing a lot of wanking. But also, because you can't go anywhere, you're only allowed to go for walks and stuff. We've been walking around the park across the road from our house. And the other day I was like, yeah, I prefer walking in the park because rather than like walking around the block, like in the streets, I think it's just too noisy. And my boyfriend was like, and because there's less dogs, because the park is filled with dogs.
You like love dogs.
Oh, my God. I saw 5 border collies in one day.
What?
5 of them. Oh, my God. What a day.
Love those puppies.
On Primates last week, we had this kind of conversation. Me and Evan are like, we both have friends like you guys, probably. You two of these friends are talking about, and we both don't really get it, but we're sort of just polite to our friends. And we're like, look at that dog. We're like, oh, yeah, look at that dog. Look at that dog over there. Look at it walking along.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Look at it. Look at it go. But I like parks.
Yeah.
I like trees.
Yeah.
I love little areas of urban areas that feel like you could be in the bush.
Yes.
Like a reserve.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, love a reserve. Mm.
Love that.
Anyway.
A little, if there's a little stream running through it.
I walk along the river.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So good.
Beautiful.
I reckon we could all have a perfect Sunday together, it sounds like.
No,
it.
Thank you.
I'm in, Dave. And let's finish with a Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can I would add that to my perfect Sunday. Yeah. It would be a fantastic dessert at the end of it all.
Yeah, good one.
I love dessert.
I'm
a
keen.
Sunday, yes. Please.
That Sydney, I think about it all the time, that Sydney date we had, Dave.
That was a beautiful
after
day.
After a live show, or maybe the night, we were up in Sydney for a live show. We went out and we had Italian for dinner and then went to a dessert bar.
With a walk in between.
With a walk in between. It was fantastic. One of my best ever dates.
I was going to say, is it sad that it's also one of my best ever dates? Is that sad?
Is that sad or is that super happy? Because it makes me full of joy. Anyway, thank you so much, Catherine Clough. And Jessica, Gillette, Sheetha, a couple of fantastic names. That brings us to the other Patreon shout-outs and thank yous. These are on I always forget what level. The $5 level, you get a shout-out. And Jess normally comes up with a little game to play.
Yeah.
What do we have? We had Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear
a
man falling to his death.
Okay.
Or the company. We could talk about their crime family name or something. Or Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear. It doesn't have to be a drug, but some sort of...
thing and some sort of animal.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's their, spirit animal?
Yes.
Because mine's Cocaine Bear.
I know.
Well, maybe this is the bear that set up, or the animal that set up at their local weird mall.
Yeah. Great.
Mine's actually craft beer wombat.
Yeah.
What is beer wombat?
Beer wombat. That's cute.
Mine's Pie Dog.
You are a pie dog. You little pie dog.
Oh, look at that little pie dog. Oh, yes. Look at that little pie dog.
Yes. Oh.
They're so great. Oh, man. They just... Life's not worth living without
pups. That's a great one. This may be my favourite ever one you've come up with. That's fantastic.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to kick it off if that's all right with you. And I would love to thank from Minneapolis, Minnesota, from the Twin Cities. Well, wow. One of the Twin Cities. Do you know that? I learned that recently. One of my good mates, Dan, is a Timberwolves fan. And we were watching Boston versus Timberwolves in the basketball a month ago or something. And they were wearing a thing that said Twin Cities on their jersey. The singlet, and apparently that's because they've got in Minnesota. There's two pretty big cities right next to each other.
And they've basically joined up. Is it St. Paul the other one?
St. Paul's the other one. Yes, of course. The geography nerd would know. Thought I'd come here with a new fact, and Dave said, "Yeah, heard it."
Step
mate.
Aside, dickhead.
So yeah, Minneapolis, Minnesota. So go Timberwolves, and it is Jay Broman.
Jay Broman.
Jay Broman. Okay, I think Jay Broman is the. He is the chocolate.
Yep.
Timberwolf, maybe.
Wolf. Chocolate wolf.
Chocolate
that's
wolf.
Pretty good.
Wolf. That's a good one. I Yum. Like that very much.
Also, does the animal require, do they have to eat whatever the thing is till they die?
That's probably bad, isn't it?
Does the wolf eat enough chocolate to die? Then it gets stuffed and put on display?
No, let's not focus on that side of it.
No, well, I mean, they just eat. Yeah, they eat it and love it.
Chocolate.
This is the
love
kind
it.
Of wolf that can definitely handle
yeah,
chocolate.
Yeah, that's right. Chocolate wolf. It's dark enough for the wolf to be able to digest it.
Yeah, loves it.
I should say, these are listeners. I mentioned it last week. I did an audit. This is what I've been doing in my lockdown period. I'm auditing all our shout-outs, and I found all these people that have fallen through the cracks. So Jay Broman has been waiting patiently for over 2 years.
How can we keep that name down? Jay Broman.
Also waiting for over 2 years, Jacoby Austin DeAngel.
Oh, fantastic
Jacoby.
Name. Jacoby. We love your work. We absolutely love your work.
From Sacramento.
California. Okay, Jacoby is a cake mouse.
Cake mouse.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Love that. I love when a food is bigger than the animal.
Yeah, that's cute.
That's how much it likes it.
It's like, I'm going to tackle that.
Thanks, Jacoby, our cake mouse.
What an absolute legend. Dave, do you want to thank some people?
I would love to now. All the way from Fenton, Michigan, am I?
Missouri? We feel like we've been here
every
before.
Time. No. Every time.
You keep talking, I'll look it up.
I think Missouri's MO. From Fenton, Madison Countman.
Madison Countman.
Is Michigan.
Michigan,
of course. Sorry, it is Madison. Fenton, Michigan. Madison Countman. And I think that Madison...
Or Courtman
is the...
Yep.
Hot chip...
Oh!
Donkey.
The hot chip donkey.
Oh, my
hot
God.
Hot chip donkey.
Hot chips.
I love hot chippies.
Because when you guys were talking about your favourite foods, I was like, what the fuck is mine? Hot chips.
Hot chips is number one.
I reckon.
Yeah. I mean... Good hot chips are the best.
Yeah,
but even
I love
bad hot chips. Still fine.
It's never like terrible.
I mean, pizza's my favourite food.
Yeah, yes. I think pizza. I had pizza last night. Fantastic.
But the
yeah.
UK hot did chips. Prove to you that you can fuck up pizza.
Oh, you can. That's true. You can, and they did.
I feel like America took a few great Italian foods and improved them. I think.
Do you reckon?
I reckon they because the genuine Italian pizza is very. Bare and sparse with ingredients. I normally have just one or two apparently on top.
Yeah, yeah.
I like how the Americans have just loaded them up.
See,
I like a basic pizza. I don't mind a basic pizza, but I love one with mushrooms, capsicum, olives.
Onion.
Pineapple.
Cheese.
Yep.
Sauce. Tomato base.
Yum. I had that exact pizza yesterday. But I had avocado on it.
What the fuck?
Cooked it was cooked. Love it. I love.
I don't like cooked avocado.
Baked ever. I think for me, it makes it even better.
Where did you get that pizza from?
That was a Domino's special
fuck
at work because it was a Good Friday. So it was on a public holiday because we still have to work because it's a newsroom technically. So the news never stops. They provide lunch on public holidays. And the only thing that was open was Domino's, which I was stoked about because I loved it.
You still go into the office?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be one of the few.
Mm. Yeah, so they've made it so half the people, if you can work at home, you are. But unfortunately for me, I cannot.
I've got an official letter from the ABC saying I'm an essential worker if I get pulled over by the police. That's the world we're living in.
Wow.
And
I do
by
not
essential
have that.
Worker, I'm not. They could just play a tape, but they let me
work. It's funny with audio stuff. It's like, I could definitely phone this in, literally.
Yeah. Well, from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m., which is when I'm on, someone doesn't have
don't
to be there.
Don't say it, Jess.
No, but I'm an essential worker. Yeah, and I've got a letter to prove it.
You've got the paper.
Thank you.
Thanks to Madison Courtman, Madison Countman. We absolutely love your work over in Michigan, and sorry it's taken a while to get to you. It's also taken a while to get to, but we're still going to give him a massive shout out. Matthew Lauer or Lower?
Matthew.
Not Matt Lauer. He's not a supporter of the show.
Oh, yeah, he's not a good dude. But this is a good dude, Matthew Lower, who has not said where you're from, Matthew, but I presume you're listening in space.
Yeah.
Wow.
In a way, aren't we all in space?
Yes.
I think it's true.
Matt, do you have an idea for your fellow Matt?
Well, I think my other favourite... I think we've talked about this before, my favourite four cuisines. I said cuisines weird there. Italian. Japanese. Mexican. The fourth one. And I reckon I'm going to go with burrito.
Ooh.
What about a burrito vol?
Oh, burrito vol. Vols are one of my favourite comedy animals.
I know, it keeps coming up. That's why I thought it'd be good.
I still don't really know what it is. It's a small English thing.
Burrito vol.
Burrito vol.
Sounds like burrito bowl. Those are delicious.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matthew. Sorry it's taken a while, but you mean the world to us.
You are the wind beneath our wings.
Your name might be lower, but in our estimations, you are higher.
Than us.
You're hired. You got the job. Matthew.
I would like to bring it home and thank some people.
Pleasey.
A local one from Preston here in Victoria.
Oh.
David Cunningham.
I thought it was going to be me. David Cunningham, thank you so much for your support.
That does impress me much.
Ha, ha, ha. Okay.
Okay, you go food, I'll go animal.
Okay. A curry.
Dingo.
Oh, yum.
Curry dingo.
Good work.
Yeah.
I made a Thai green curry the other night. That's why I was thinking about it. Because Thai would be my third.
Yes, Thai's right.
Italian, Mexican, Thai.
Okay. Thai's great. Oh, I like so many. Indian. Yeah.
Indian,
right up there?
Yum.
I'm into Indian.
I don't know if there's a cuisine I dislike. But I haven't
had
them all yet.
So thank you very much to David. And I would also love to thank another Dave.
Oh, is it me this time?
Dave Ballantyne.
Oh, Ballantyne.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Dave doesn't say where he's from either, but we can only assume space.
Okay. Do you want to say the food? No, I'll say the food. You say the animal,
Jess.
Okay, Dave is, of course, the strawberry
cat.
Ooh, nice.
We didn't have a cat.
Strawberry cat.
Yeah, a little strawberry cat.
That's great.
Like when people go, I'm a strawberry blonde.
Yes.
Like a ginger cat, but it's a bit pink.
I was a strawberry blonde as a kid, which is a lie, of course, a redhead. But
it's a lie that a lot of redheads say,
One of my parents wouldn't let it go. They're like, no, you're strawberry blonde. Like they were ashamed.
Yeah. I will not admit this.
No, it's Auburn. No, it's not. No, it's fucking not.
Just I believe it. No, it's No, my mum says I'm actually a strawberry blonde.
It's light black.
Thank you, Dave.
Very light.
Dave Ballantyne, the strawberry cat.
DB.
Thanks to everyone that we mentioned just there. You're all great.
Many great ones there. Let me just double check if anyone is being inducted in the Triptych Club. Dave, do you want to explain the Triptych Club briefly while I have
a
quick look?
Well, we've recently launched the Triptych Club, which is for people that have been supporting the show at the shout-out level for 3 consecutive years.
Yeah, it's a pretty massive effort.
Absolutely long-term supporters of ours, which we totally appreciate. And usually, Jess, we supply some sort of hors d'oeuvre and or drink.
Why the fuck do I forget this every time?
I'm trying to give you time here.
Thank you.
And or cocktail.
Yep.
For example, we had a prawn cocktail last week. But just this week, the Triptych Club, if there are any, what would they be nibbling on? Of course, there's an open bar as well.
Well, there's an open bar, but there's also a cocktail special this week.
Oh, what are we talking?
Espresso martinis.
Oh, my. Keep you going.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah.
Delish.
Big fan. I went to a wine bar, when we're allowed to still. For a little celebration. I went up to the thing and there was a cocktail menu. Ooh. And I tried so hard to find one that wasn't the basic bitch espresso martini, but I ended up sheepishly saying, do you mind if I get a... It was like a classy kind of joint.
I fucking own it now. Sometimes I'm like, I'll have a porn star martini, thanks.
Ooh, what's that mean?
I don't remember, but they're pretty good.
Right. Me walking up there, I don't think they're expecting anything less from this. What do you want, espresso martini? We don't do VB, sorry, mate.
we got espresso martinis and mini pizzas.
Oh, yum.
Oh, fantastic.
I love finger food.
Yeah. There are a couple of inductees in the Triptych Club this week from Missouri City in Texas. It's Matt Lass, and from Whitehaven, Cumbria in Great Britain, it's Scott Clark.
Welcome, please.
Grab a mini pizza.
Make yourself at home. If we can get you anything, let us know.
And these are genuine Italiano mini pizzas.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Just like Mama used to make.
No avocado on them, sadly.
No. Sadly, no. But they are delicious.
I think I do want to take back slightly what I said. I love both versions of the pizza. I don't want to offend anyone from Italy. Of course, I'm 1/8 Swiss Italian, so I.
Well, you're not.
1/16, 1/8. You potato, say tomato, potato. You say tomato.
I know, but do you want 1/8 of a pizza or do you want 1/16 of a pizza? It makes a big difference.
Oh!
I'll take 1/8, the amount that I am Swiss Italian.
1/8 sucks. That's
I think I'm 1/4.
You keep bumping it up, mate. You're trying to claim citizenship.
I'm fully Swiss Italian.
Mamma mia, something Swiss. Roger Federer.
Something Swiss.
I couldn't get any.
Chocolate.
Yeah, there you go.
Chocolate pizza. Mamma mia.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that brings us to the end of our Patreon section, the best part of our show.
That's right. It brings us to the end of the episode as well. Thank you so much for listening to us. Of course, many episodes for you to check out if you have only recently started listening.
Mm.
And if you want to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/dogoonpod.
If you get on the, I think, DB Cooper level or the one above that, I forget what it's called, you can now get 3 bonus episodes a month. And we're excited for that. I can't wait to watch the cameo appearance of Brendan Fraser.
I think the first film might star either River or Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh,
quite
wow.
Young.
Cool.
I looked into it. You know,
okay.
I had That's a bit
awesome.
Of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. But until then, check us out on dogoonpod.com or follow at dogoonpod for all the social media needs. But until then, we'll say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.